Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, March 16th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here at UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a sunny 24 degrees with mountains of snow here in upstate New York. At least it finally stopped snowing for a couple days. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Longevity, Young Blood, Human Enhancement, and Mad Science Reality. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about one story, and that would be Peter Thiel and his penchant for young blood. There was a company called Ambrosia, and we found Ambrosia is charging $8,000 for rich people to get infusions from young people, 25 and under, I think is what they said. Because there is a protein in their blood they discovered that makes their bodily functions turn back the clock. And it is as if they are getting younger. And that is one of many different treatments we have discovered over the last few years. This longevity medicine project across the board is typically being financed by tech billionaires. A lot of them are sprinkle funding a lot of different stuff, and they all want to live forever. We also have the mad science, DARPA fueled, merging man and machine. It is all being done in the name of curing you and keeping you safe and protecting you from foreign actors, known or unknown. Bagging, tagging, monitoring, surveilling, putting in a dashboard. So at any point in time, you can determine whether or not you're operating within parameters. And as this world is rolling out, we found that the easiest way for them to convince us that we all want to get nanobots in our blood is to put it as a health cure, and we found legions of nanobots they now are saying can cure cancer. So step right up, Jenny. We're gonna do all kinds of stuff. And hey, if that doesn't work, we got a brain implant for you. They're working on that one too. So that's where we're gonna kick the show off today. So we were supposed to kick the show off yesterday. We didn't quite make it. I found a study. This is out of the Pew Research Center under the heading of Internet Science and Technology. There was a new study done on human enhancement. And this goes way beyond male enhancement. This is human enhancement across the board. The scientific and ethical dimensions of striving for perfection. And really, that is what we've seen time and time again. This striving for perfection, for being godlike, for living forever, for being able to cure aging as if it were a disease. The fountain of youth. Guys, this right here, this dangling carrot of striving for perfection. Humans are imperfect. We've always been imperfect. And our ability to learn and to become better people is what has made up the human condition for the history of man. The fact that people like Ray Kurzweil and oh, little Ray, he popped his ugly head up yesterday. Hopefully we get there today. But this human condition is something that they are looking now to eliminate. They want us to be able to become perfect, to look perfect. They want us to be able to determine pre-birth whether or not there's a genetic anomaly. I mean, they're already doing that now. You're over 35. They're going to want to do some genome testing on the fetus. And in the not too distant future, You won't even be worrying about that. They'll be doing it in a petri dish using stem cells and then pushing all the buttons that you paid for your customized offspring. Flip all those switches. And remember, too, if you're a defective human, if you've had stress in life, if you have eaten junk food, if you have had any of a number of these occurrences that could have sent epigenetic changes down through your genes that could affect your offspring, you've been exposed to any of these things, well, you will not be allowed to reproduce utilizing your own genes. But here, look, you can buy some embryos. Push a couple of buttons. $29.95. We got blonde ones and brown-haired ones. Green eyes, blue eyes. Pick one. Push a button in. I mean, they could even do it in a vending machine. Bloop. But that's what I'm talking about. Life has been commoditized like everything else. And there are no ethics or morals anymore from a scientific perspective. I don't think so, Johnny. I really don't think so. And one of the things we are going to look at as a part of all this, it just struck me this would be a good place to put it. So I guess some scientists in Germany decided to do a redo of the Milgram's experiment from the 60s. We've talked about that before. I remember that was when I took Psych 101. They made us watch the Milgram's experiment on film. If nobody's ever seen that, it was quite disturbing. In the time when they were doing that experiment, they told us that they were trying to understand how the Nazi occupation happens, and how these people just blindly followed orders without questioning for all these horrific things that happened. Now, I don't know, believe what you will about all that, at least about World War II and what happened where, but I'm going to tell you, I've already seen how the Nazis happened. You see it in this country in our time now, many, many times you see law enforcement and government officials, doctors, lawyers, they just all follow blindly what they're told. Nobody questions anything. You have your propaganda box, which Brandon Turberville did a really great story. I'm not going to get into this today, but saw it on Activist Post or go out to BrandonTurberville.com. I'm sure it's posted up there. But he did a great story on the last 60 years of history of mainstream media being infiltrated by the CIA. And this whole fake news thing is not new. I had dug into it back a few years ago about the whole broadcasting, the BSG. I don't remember what the S stands for. Broadcasting something of governors. Tied right in with the State Department. They were running Voice of America overseas for all of our propagandized countries that we're trying to spread democracy to. But back with the NDAA of 2013, they had legalized propaganda on the American people, and they allowed the State Department to turn that bzoop right on us to start selling us lock, stock, and barrel. Every piece of garbage they needed to get into our heads to be able to groom us, to be able to psyop us, to steer society in the direction that they needed it to go for their big evil plan. Well, I digress. But the Milgram experiment had a redo. And guess what, people? People still do what they're told. They still follow direction from authority to even injure the innocent just because they're instructed to do so. Don't do it, people, because I see exactly what is happening at this point in time with this scientific mad science that is happening. Doesn't make any sense, scientific mad science. This spin out of 21st century cures all to keep you safe. You know, there are a few researchers out there who are raising the red alarm, like those five neuroscientists at St. John Hopkins that we read about last week. We're really crying foul about how this has become more about the toys, more about how exciting it is to poke and prod and get the bells and whistles and $100 million grants, rather than pay attention to the real human that is on the other side of that brain. Well, this is happening across the board. We have all of this craziness that's happening right now on a daily basis, and we are going to discuss human enhancement. And do not allow me to get sidetracked today because I have too many tabs to go over. But yes, the Milgram experiment is still alive and well, and we should be worried about that, because all these little self-important, uniformed agents of this regime, this control structure that has been put into place around us, are little lackeys that are like dogs looking to get a pat on the head and told that they're a good boy and tossed a bone. And the sad fact of the matter is, these little self-important people who have been groomed to be that way, by the way, you know, the whole Bernaysian societal keeping up with the Joneses, I'm the center of the universe, buying things that I don't need because I was told that I did, has groomed these types of people. These are the ones that get a little boost when they feel a little bit important, and they would kick their brother in the head for recognition to be told that, you know, they got a little power. So now places like the TSA, I got to tell you, I keep seeing all these job postings. They're hiring TSA agents everywhere. Woo! Actually, they look like they pay pretty well, too. Got to go through some screening processes. Don't worry about that, Johnny. We got this new type of invasive searching that we're going to get to do. So it's not going to be like before. It's not going to be the back of the hand. It's going to be the front of the hand. So don't get excited. Step right up and do what you're told. I mean, we need to be worried, because there are not going to be too many people, I do not believe, across the board, that are going to stand up and say some of this stuff is wrong. There are not going to be too many scientists who are instructed start doing these enhancement surgeries to correct somebody, to fix their mental disorder, to fix Dana's Alzheimer's. I don't think that most industry insiders are going to buck the system. They're going to go with it. Most of them are invested in the 21st century medicine. So it's going to be beneficial for everybody. Human enhancement, the scientific and ethical dimensions of striving for perfection. Human enhancement is at least as old as human civilization, and people have been trying to enhance their physical and mental capabilities for thousands of years, some successfully, and sometimes with inconclusive, comic, or even tragic results. Ding, ding. There's going to be a next generation of those comic and tragic results here with the coming of transhumanism. Up until this point in history, the most of the biomedical interventions, whether successful or not, have attempted to restore something perceived to be deficient, such as vision, hearing, or mobility. And even when these interventions have tried to improve on nature, say with something like an anabolic steroid to stimulate muscle growth, or drugs such as Ritalin to sharpen focus, the results have tended to be relatively modest and incremental. But thanks to recent scientific developments in areas such as biotechnology, information technology, and nanotechnology, humanity may be on the cusp of an enhancement revolution. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. In the next 2 or 3 decades, People may have the option to change themselves and their children in ways that up until now have existed largely in the minds of science fiction writers and creators of comic book superheroes. Uh-oh. Guys, now back a year or two ago, I used to talk about them flipping a few switches and making laser beam eyes, wings, and fangs. Well, guess what? It's coming. Both advocates for and opponents of human enhancement spin a number of possible scenarios. Some talk about what might be called Humanity Plus. That is what they're calling it. I think their logo is a big H. No, it's a little H with a plus symbol. Up, kind of raised like it's an exponent. So some people talk about what might be called Humanity Plus. And people who are still recognizably human, but much smarter, stronger, and healthier. So that's where Kurzweil's heading for, Humanity Plus. Others speak of post-humanity. And that's where I'm talking. This is 2.0. And predict that dramatic advances in genetic engineering and machine technology may ultimately allow people to become conscious machines and not recognizably human, at least on the outside. This enhancement revolution, if and when it comes, and I'm not going to say that before, it's not if, it's when, may well be prompted by ongoing efforts to aid people with disabilities and heal the sick, ding, 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 all in the name of curing you. And indeed, science is already making rapid progress in the restorative and therapeutic technologies that could, in theory, have implications for human enhancement. Exactly. Step right up. Desperate, sick, and dying. Let us test all this on you, and then we'll sell it to the people with the money. And it seems that each week or so, the headlines herald a new medical or scientific breakthrough. And in the last few years, for instance, researchers have implanted artificial retinas, ding, 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 we just covered that the other day, to give blind patients partial sight. Other scientists successfully linked a paralyzed man's brain to a computer chip, ding, ding, we've talked about that as well, brain-powered prostheses, which help restore partial movement of a previously non-responsive limb. Still, others have created synthetic blood substitutes, ding, 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 which could soon be used in human patients. It's all about the blood, people. Blah, blah. Let's give them synthetic blood in the Red Cross, and then we'll take all of our donations, and we'll sell it to rich people to make them young again. And one of the most important developments in recent years involves a new gene splicing technique called, we know it, more affectionately love to hate, CRISPR. And this new method greatly improves scientists' ability to accurately and efficiently edit the human genome in both embryos and adults. Oh, interesting. People pay a lot of money for these Pew Research studies, and all you had to do was listen to Before the First Cup for free, and look it, you had already been in the know. So, to those who support human enhancement, well, I'm going to say, please go to Mars. But they say, to those who support human enhancement, many of whom call themselves transhumanists, technological breakthroughs like these are springboards not only to healing people, but to changing and improving humanity. And up until this point, they say, humans have largely worked to control their shape and their exterior environments because they were powerless to do more. But now look out. Transhumanists predict that a convergence of new technologies will soon allow people to control and fundamentally change their bodies and their minds. Remember, Kurzweil wants to become Ramona. And instead of leaving a person's physical well-being to the vagaries of nature, Supporters of these technologies contend science will allow us to take control of our species development. And that was some of this human-directed evolution that Georgie Porgy Church talked about. Making ourselves and future generations stronger, smarter, healthier, and happier. All I gotta say is be afraid, be very afraid. They want to take humans and change them in their own image. This is not what we want, people. There should not be anyone holding the strings on this bag, able to manipulate them at a cellular and a DNA level. And that's what we are talking about. The haves and the have-nots, they can mix and match DNA from different species, create life with a button, is what the DARPA lady said. And I am going to warn you, this is leading us down a very dark path for humanity. We are about ready to lose our place in the food chain. I hope you understand that. You know, as artificial intelligence starts rolling right along, and they're already working on making tin cans with meat on them, aka skin jobs, robots with human skin. They're also working on it from the other direction. Humans with robotic components in them. And sure, a prosthetic arm might seem like pretty old school now. They've been doing that stuff forever. Little nanobots in your blood connecting to your neocortex is not. Kurzweil has been pushing that, and they are getting there. He's a director of engineering for Google. He just showed up at SWSX to talk all about the coming singularity the other day. And he has turned his predictions closer than they've ever been. Until the other day, there's a story came out. Some dude is actually the founder or the CEO of SoftBank. And he's like, oh, the singularity I predict is coming in 2045. And I mentioned that the other day. And I said, I think that dude's wrong. In 2045, that's even further out than Kurzweil ever predicted. And Kurzweil's been pretty accurate. Kurzweil's always kind of been in the know. And he's more in the know now than ever. And I just saw a story the other day. He's not only working as director of engineering with Google, but I was reading a story the other day. He's literally working, helping develop shit at DARPA. I mean, Kurzweil, DARPA, Google. I'm telling you, it is the unholy trinity, and it happened a few years ago, right at Christmas time. I warned you then. But Kurzweil came out the other day at SWSX, and he said, hey, guess what? Singularity is coming now in 2029. I think I predicted originally, he said 2030. 2029, we just backed it up a year. And probably even sooner than that. That is perfected singularity. And 2029, they gave like, oh, what time is it? It's 12 years from now. This is less than a decade. My kid will be in her 20s. It's beyond frightening. Like, we might actually make 12 years. That's what scared me. It's not like it's 20, 30, 40 years into the future. We're all like, nah, I'll be dead by then. But it's like 12 years from now. And that's 12 years from today. And that doesn't include the leaps and bounds that technology makes between now and then. So if we're talking about the law of exponential returns, like Kurzweil has discussed many times, you know, where we increase our capability, not on a nice gradual upward slope anymore. Now it's on a direct trajectory up. We got some big problems, Clyde. And it's not even going to be 2029. Wait, 2029. 2017 to 2029. Yeah, it's 12 years. I told you math in the morning is hard. I'm only on half a cup. By the way, Jeff Wefferson has wanted to get me on Skype for a long time. This is just a little side note. He does one of our shows that has been a very long-running show on the weekends on UCY called On the Brink. And we also air Jeff, I think I have him in at 3 a.m. because that's like prime time in New Zealand. 3 a.m. during the week. He's down on in the South Pacific. He's in New Zealand and Australia. He bounces back and forth, but Jeff has been telling me for a long time that he wanted to talk to me on Skype, and it had been a few years since I talked to Jeff, so I made some time yesterday. Jeff knows a lot about frequencies. He's spent a lot of time studying the military-industrial complex and underwater military-industrial complex weapon systems and how they affect the cetaceans, the dolphins and the whales and that. And so we really wanted to speak to Jeff because we had run across that HARP document. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but in chat I did. There was a document that got password protected. It had been wide open as of January 29th per Google. And I saw it in a search result the other day. I clicked on it and it says, oh, you are not authorized to see this document. I was like, what? But the cached document was still available, so I snagged a PDF of it. And Jeff is somebody who has paid a lot of attention to HARP, so I had been wanting to speak to him in regards to that. Well, I told him 9:30 last night, which, oops, I overslept. I apologize, Jeff. It's just we had four out of the snowstorm and the windstorm that happened last week. Out of 7 physical days, there were 2 weekend days, and the kids had 4 days off. So I had 6 days of 24/7 kid bouncing around that I had to juggle life and all the other stuff around. So it made for a very, very busy week last week. But anyway, so I showed up a little bit late. Apologized. Jeff and I got on the phone. They are like 15 hours ahead of us. Might be only 14 now because we went ahead with the time change, and I don't believe they have yet, or even if they do. I don't think they do down there. I know when I talk to my cousin, they go between 14 and 15. But we had a good hour plus long discussion. And when we get on the phone, Jeff's like, well, you mind if I hit record? He wanted to record an interview. So I just want to apologize because I don't do interviews usually. I've done very few. It's because like this little Rain Man thing I do here, this is just my morning thing, but you can't like push a button and make me perform. I just, my brain doesn't do it after a certain time, especially at night. By that point in time, the little sippy cup hole has been left open all day and all the contents have spilled out all over my house. And there's nothing left in my brain by midnight. I just sit here and drool. I gotta wait again until the morning until I get my cup of coffee and it starts to all come out again. So anyway, he wants to send that to me to air this weekend. So if you want to laugh, I don't know, it was good. He asked me all kinds of weird questions, though, about Wernher von Braun and what my thoughts are on Atlantis. And we talked about some CubeSats and plasma bombing the sky. So I don't know. I thought it was just going to be a conversation, not an interview. I usually don't talk about those things in public. And like I said, my brain wasn't even working. I didn't have any research up. I didn't even know I was doing an interview. So might be fun, but it'll be on early hours in the morning on the weekend. I think it's 8 a.m. on Saturday, and or 9 a.m. on Saturday and 8 a.m. on Sunday. All right. So anyway, talking about human enhancement. Yes, I needed some caffeine. I didn't have my enhancement last night. So anyway, we got back to CRISPR. And these damn transhumanists who are out there pushing this agenda forward, thinking that we need to be 2.0 to make us better because humans are so imperfect. But we're really not, people. You know, even though we have these little foibles, part of the challenge of aging is to become a better version of yourself. And there are many of us out there who still are making the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. Even as we reach middle age, those same mistakes that we made when we were 20 that caused us to be stuck where we are. There are some of us who have realized that and sat back and made some of those hard decisions that, well, even though it's habits, even though it's comfortable, maybe you need to get outside of your comfort zone and challenge yourself a little bit to become a better version of yourself. Like I said, you know, you do have the keys to the castle in your hands. You just need to learn how to use them. Your brain is a very powerful tool. And that is called thinking, making logical deductions, doing research, coming up with a goal and a plan. And then don't let anybody tell you that you can't accomplish that. That's one thing that I have to thank my mother for. That's something that another one of those mantras used to put in my head when I was little. Just don't let anyone tell you that you can't do something. Especially if they tell you you can't do it because you are a girl. Because remember I told you she was a budding suffragette in the 70s. But it's true. And when I was a kid, I mentioned about taking that aptitude test. I don't know, we were maybe in third or fourth grade. And I remember taking that test. And then they went around the room and started telling everyone what their occupation in the future would be if they went by their aptitude, what they'd really be good at. And Susie always ended up being a librarian or a housewife until they came to Jewel. And they told Jewel she would make a good mechanical engineer. And the whole room burst out laughing at me because of that. And, you know, good thing my mother encouraged me that it wasn't a joke. And that you could be a good engineer, even if you were a girl. You know, now they're going to be tooling us. And is that just going to be by sex? Or, I hate when they call it race, but how about your genetic origins? They're going to be tooling us and looking at some of the genetic differences between humans. Deciding in the future what are good genes and what are bad genes and what genes can stay and what genes can go and what this new version of humanity is going to look like to make a perfect human. Now, where have we heard that before? And that's what's frightening about them discovering that this Milgram experiment redo came to the same conclusions as the original. Because the people who are following orders are just following orders from those who are in charge without question. So how do you think that that is going to turn out for most of us in the end? And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to turn out well. Up until this point, they say humans have largely worked to control and shape their exterior environments because they were powerless to do more. But transhumanists predict that the convergence of new technologies will soon allow people to control and fundamentally change their bodies and minds instead of leaving a person's physical well-being to the vagaries of nature. Supporters of these technologies contend science will allow us to take control of our species' development, make ourselves and future generations stronger, smarter, healthier, and happier. And like I said, I don't think it's going to be, though, your decision as to who's able to make these changes and what changes are made. The science that underpins transhumanist hopes is impressive, but there is no guarantee the researchers will create the means to make super smart or super strong people. Questions remain about the feasibility of radically changing human physiology, in part because scientists do not yet completely understand our bodies and minds. Ding, ding, ding. Again, exactly why you should not be stepping up right now to be the 1.0 guinea pig for these new technologies. They could talk a good game all day, but that doesn't mean that they actually really know what those switches that they're flipping are going to do. You know, they got a vague idea, but there's all these off targets that they don't quite know what's going to happen. You know, they might flip the switch here, but it could affect 32 switches over there, and they're only just beginning to understand what happens when they flip that switch. Sometimes it takes a while for all of the after effects to pan out. There's also philosophical, ethical, and religious opposition to transhumanism. And again, like I said, my halo broke a long time ago, so I'm not going to come at this from a religious perspective, but I'm going to tell you, as a human, as someone who is a part of nature, this is unnatural. We should not have the ability to manipulate life as if we were gods. And again, big G, little G, doesn't matter. Gods is just the same. Creating life in a petri dish from scratch and then being able to mutate it to your own needs. That's an aberration. That's a very scary place when you can create minotaurs. And I predict one day we're going to see something like that. It's pretty scary. We're already seeing these human pig chimeras all in the name of growing organs. Not that we can't already 3D print them with your own stem cells. No, no, no. But we're going to mix animals and humans. We're going to put some human genes into a cow. Start making human breast milk out of these cows in China. I mean, guys, this is not the world I want to leave to my kid. And I have big philosophical and ethical issues with every bit of this. And every one of these lunatics, they all need to be jailed. Any of these people who are right now in the process of selling out the human race, all in the name of being immortal, longevity, living forever, pleasing your rich billionaire tech masters. So maybe you could be a lackey when the robots come and take over everything. I know it sounds insane, but that's exactly where our reality is headed right now. Believe me or don't, but start doing some research and you will. Questions remain about the feasibility of radically changing human physiology, in part because scientists don't quite completely understand our bodies and our minds. For instance, researchers do not fully comprehend how people age or fully understand the source of human consciousness. But don't worry about that one, Johnny, because they're working really hard and trying to figure that out, because eventually they want to be able to upload you to the cloud. So then you can live forever in your digital prison, and they can let you out when they want to download you at Christmas time. Like I said before, let's get Nana. Beep. We'll pick Nana's avatar from 1972, because that was a fun version of Nana. We'll have Nana come join us for the holidays, and then we'll just upload her and go back to the cloud. Until next time, we want to get her down. Nana as a service. I mean, it's horrifying. And this is stuff that people like Kurzweil who are directing this entire transhumanist agenda is being in cahoots with DARPA and Google as the lead engineer. Yeah, that Kurzweil. They roll him out every time they want to give you an idea of what is going on and how far along with the plan we've come. Like I said, they rolled him out at SWSX the other day. And the plan has moved forward now a year, 2029. This is the merger of man and machine. I don't know. This goes on and on and on. We might save a little more of this transhumanist agenda, human enhancement study, to kick off tomorrow so I can get to another story. All right, so there was another story that came out of Pew Research Center under the heading of Internet Science and Technology. And I mentioned this one yesterday. They actually did a survey. Survey says public opinion on the use of future brain implants. Now, brain implants are something that we've kind of joked about, and then we've kind of read about, and then we've kind of been really shocked about, and then we got to see it on live TV on National Geographic last year in the name of curing Alzheimer's. Actually, it was Parkinson's. But now we're hearing about, oh, curing Nana's Alzheimer's, PTSD. We have the 21st Century Cures Act with this neurological surveillance and these non-invasive technologies. It's coming, people. We have seen with the whole brain initiative, there are billions of dollars going into research right now of all these different techs They just announced there was a story yesterday. Pigmind dropped it to me. He's like, look, they have some new thing where you can control typing on a keyboard without even using your fingers. Yes, you know that's coming. It's all the little dangling carrot bells and whistles to suck you right into that machine. Well, Pew Research, I don't know if they get paid or whatever. I would assume they do. Did a study because, you know, they got to kind of gauge how many resistant consumers there are out there. Well, public opinion on the future use of brain implants. Well, let's find out how we rank on the gamut of people who don't think this is too cool. The widespread availability of brain implants, and remember, DARPA has been sprinkle funding this for a very long time, might seem like an idea from science fiction, and doesn't all of it. But this may not be the case for much longer. Ding, ding, ding. For now, brain implants, also called neuroprosthetics, are available for medical patients with specific conditions. Cochlear implants are used by hundreds of thousands of people who are deaf or hard of hearing. That's what I said the other day when we were talking about this. You know, how, where are we going to draw this line? We got Uncle Chet, who's got his pig valves in his heart. He had open heart surgery, and they fixed him all up. But does that make Uncle Chet a cyborg? And we got Aunt Ginny, who's got her hearing aid. You know, Aunt Ginny can hear me now. Ginny Remedy. No, not Ginny Remedy. Aunt Ginny can hear me now because she's got her hearing aid. But does that make Aunt Ginny a robot? Well, no, it doesn't. But we're talking about way beyond that now. We are talking about putting an implant in your brain to be able to get superhuman powers like thoughts or vision. And I mean, it's not going to start out that way. It's going to be to help people with certain diseases like, you know, Johnny. Johnny had a head injury. And Johnny can't remember anymore. And Johnny has some bad memories. So we're going to take care of all that. So we're going to make Johnny better. But in the end, you know, this can be used for a lot more. I saw they were actually, there was some implant I read about the other day that's going to be a literal, like, extension to your memory. Like a flashcard to put in and add to the memory in your head. Cochlear implants are used by hundreds of thousands of people who are deaf or hard of hearing. And thousands of patients with Parkinson's disease have a device implanted in their brain, just like the one we saw on National Geographic, to send electrical pulses to help their motor control. And in April of 2016, medical researchers from the Ohio State University and the Patel Medical Institute reported that they had helped a paralyzed patient regain control over his movements of his right hand and fingers through the use of an implanted computer chip in the brain. Ding, ding, we talked about that one. The Pew Research Survey now is going to take an look at early public opinion. See, they before they've played the whole propaganda psyop on us to tell us that we now need to keep up with the Joneses. We have Elon Musk talking about neural lace and telling us how if we don't get some sort of augmentation, the robots are going to become our overlords. And we will become pets or eliminated. So step right up. We got to keep up with these super intelligent machines. And if you don't get your future brain implants, you're going to fall behind, Johnny. And you know you got to keep up with the Chinese, too. This is heading in a very scary place. And they are going to use peer pressure to force this, just like they are with vaccines. You know, now we got all these idiots out there who don't even look at any of the science, who don't even question the fact that a large number of the studies that are out there that are published in journals aren't properly peer-reviewed, aren't reproducible, and are potentially outright utter fraud and have not been retracted. I mean, it's the same situation. Now we're going to force you through public opinion and situation to step right up and get that brain implant. Again, not the future I want for my child. The Pew Research Center survey takes an early look at public opinion about the possibility of using similar brain implants in people without a specific medical need for the device. Respondents were given a brief hypothetical scenario, republished in the sidebar, involving the surgical implantation of a computer chip in the brain for the purpose of giving people a much improved ability to concentrate or process information. And this is it, guys. This is the step right up. This is the merging of man and machine that they've been grooming our children for the last two generations. Remember, it started with the computer. It went to the handheld. They are rolling out the Levi's Project Jacquard, integrated computers in your clothes for your wearables. And the next step is, a survey says, the implantable. They were then asked a question and a series of questions about the scenario. Americans are much more likely to express concern about implanting computer chips in human brains than they are to say that they would be enthusiastic about such an idea. Well, you, thank God, at least the Americans have a little bit of alarm. And about as twice as many said that they would not want to use this technology themselves, then say that they would sign up for such an implant. U.S. adults are also more likely to see this type of technology as morally unacceptable. Zing! Although a considerable share say that they are not sure about the moral implications. There are large differences in views about this technology among religious groups, and similar to their thoughts about gene editing, Americans who have high religious commitments are more likely to see such a device as quote-unquote meddling with nature. So they're going to turn the people who have a quote-unquote religious commitment into the Luddites who are going to stop this moving forward. They're going to become the radicalist jihadis. You know, it's disturbing. You know, just because you are not religious does not mean that you cannot see stuff like this as meddling with nature. I believe in a much bigger picture than some puny book where someone's going to tell me what to believe. There's a much greater picture when you look at the science and the physics and the nature behind everything that we have here, not only in this world, but in our solar system and in our universe and the beautiful symphony that is occurring in the orbiting of the spheres and creation and how this well-oiled piece of machinery operates without any human intervention. The only thing humans do is screw it up, pollute it, ruin it. So meddling with nature, to me, has nothing to do with your religious commitment. It has to do with looking at the lunatics who are trying to take control over something that they have not earned the right to control. They do not have the ethical or the moral wherewithal to be in your best interest. And that's the concerning part. They are going to enslave you. That's what's going to happen. This is not so Johnny can have blue eyes and blonde hair. Americans concerned about brain implants to improve information processing. 7 in 10 Americans say that they are very or somewhat worried about the possibility of technology that would allow an implanted computer chip in the brain to give healthy people an improved ability to concentrate. So 7 in 10 believe like we do. but only about a third are very or somewhat enthusiastic about this process. You know what? Step right up there, you one third of lunatics. I don't care. Go to Mars and get transplanted every day until Sunday. Just don't force it on my kid. This is what I'm worried about. Don't force it on my grandchildren or any of the future generations that don't want any part of your augmentation. And while 20% of adults are both worried and enthusiastic about this idea, so I'm scared, but oh, it's exciting. It sounds a little bit confused. Many more said they are somewhat worried, or either not too worried, or not at all enthusiastic about this possibility. So where does that put us? Well, like I said, the Milgram experiment is reborn, and 50 years on, one of the most controversial psych experiments ends up with the same creepy results. People will still hurt others just to obey orders. Ding, ding, ding. Just how fitting they released this story, actually at the early hours of this morning, right at this point in time, right at this point in history. Well, we have this crazy agenda that is going on. The people like us are questioning, go, wait one second here, Charlie. What are you talking about? And then we find out with a paid Pew Research study that the large majority of Americans do not want this technology, but hey, let's blame it on the religious crazies. But no, it's not religious crazy. It's called humanity. We don't want to be transhumanized. We don't want to be liberalized. We don't want to accept your bullshit agendas that you are trying to stuff sideways down every single one of our throats. All in the name of equality and your new insane vision of the future. Guys, that boils it down in a nutshell. And the sad fact of the matter is, as they push harder, we better start pushing back, because if we don't, it's going to be forced on us. And they are trying every single way to force it. And they're going to do it whether or not we want it. You know, I saw Heather Kalgan's publication put out a story the other day about Pennsylvania now working on inking a bill for forced vaccinations, mandatory, absolutely no religious exemption anymore. They're doing that across the board here. I am not sure if they did that in New York already, but they were talking about it. And I know they did it in California. But from everything that we have studied about vaccines, about ingredients, about transhumanization, about DARPA, about shape-shifting immune systems and flipping switches for genetic therapies of the future. Hey, we can stand up and say no way all day, but once they pass these laws to force every one of us to have to be vaccinated, you better start running there, Johnny. It's going to be like Running Man. We got the drones with the HD cameras following us, broadcasting us live on pay TV for the masses in the Global Coliseum to watch as they're trying to catch us as a fugitive who is not going to take the upgrade that they were told that is required. Guys, this is just so frightening to me. This is beyond frightening. And now we find out, yeah, well, Milgram was right. All they have to do is tell these self-important people in uniforms what to do. And they won't question. They won't even process whether or not there's any morals. It doesn't matter. They were told to do it, so do it, damn it. It might make you important. If you have ever studied social science, you most likely heard about the Milgram experiment. Like I said, or you watched it in Psych 101. And it is on YouTube. I'll link it in the notes. The infamous series of experiments that started in 1961 and concluded that most volunteers would harm another person if an authority figure told them to do so. It has become one of the most controversial and best-known psychology experiments of all time. And now, more than 50 years later, a team of researchers in Poland have repeated a modern version and found that, what? Oh, the same results still hold true. Now, I'm pretty concerned about this. Because you would think that almost 50 years of time that has happened in studying history and people becoming a little bit smarter now with the advent of the internet and the globalization, so we all know what's going on, you would think that the people would be kind of savvy to doing some horrible things without questioning them, but apparently not. And to add insult to injury, another brand new story, DARPA's new brain implants could be the next big thing in mental health, or a total disaster. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Hey, Johnny, you have been diagnosed with a mental disorder on a spectrum, but don't worry, we can fix you. And the 21st Century Cures Act has non-invasive surveillance. We can make sure that you're operating within parameters. So, how did a Massachusetts woman end up with two electrodes implanted in her brain? Well, we'll find out here. And why is DARPA developing a controversial cutting-edge brain chip technology that could one day treat everything from major depression to hand cramps? And how did we get to something called deep brain stimulation? And where do we go from here? Well, we got a question here, Johnny, and they got the answer. Step right up, because now DARPA has all kinds of brain implants. They have been using the poor soldiers coming back as their guinea pigs. And they have something now called deep brain stimulation that is the bleeding edge of mental health treatment. It originally was developed for tremors for Parkinson's patients. But don't worry about it, because we have now done enough research to be able to view it as a potentially revolutionary method of treating mental illness. Step right up for your brain implant for depression. All right, guys, have an awesome Thursday. I will catch up with you tomorrow.